Oh, yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? Good evening. This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk Podcast. But tonight, it's that Friday Night Fire with the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. You know, like I say, every Friday is always fun to get up here with my two brothers as my special co-hosts. Let me introduce my brothers to you. What's up, Jermaine? How it goes, bro?
Man, what's going on, family? Another Friday, brother.
Yes, sir, man. Looking forward to it as we get in this stretch run of the fantasy football season. So, until we get into our MVPs, disappointments, and surprises. I think that's going to be very fun tonight. But let's introduce my other brother. What up, bro? How you doing, Carl?
What's up,
you all right?
Man, I'm great, man. How y'all doing?
Oh, man. Oh, we good, man. So, got my two brothers up here. We've been playing fantasy football together for years. Once again, we don't consider ourselves experts, but we do know a thing or two about winning fantasy football championships. And tonight, we'll be reviewing the Thursday night game from a fantasy football perspective. Indy beat Tennessee last night, and to me, which was a shocker. Then we're going to get into our mid-season awards as far as MVP, disappointments, and surprises. And then we get to the meat and potatoes of the show. We'll let you know who you should sit and who you should start, as you should start readying your squad for the fantasy football playoffs as we are into week 10. But in the infamous words, and if time permitting, we'll give you a couple sleepers also. But like MC Hammer says, let's get it started. But we're going to talk some real football real quick, and I want to get to my brother Carl. And I have to ask you, bro, it's been a lot of talk this week on a lot of sports shows and football shows, and I got to ask you, being that you're a Bucs fan, is AB hurting Tampa Bay's chances of winning the Super Bowl in real football?
Nah, I don't think he's hurting. I think what I saw the other night is that we were trying to force feed him too much instead of letting the offense just come to him. And I think that took us out of character for what we've been doing for the previous 9 weeks. So I'm not going to blame the player. If I'm going to blame anybody, I blame the coach because he's the one calling the play.
Thank you. That was my thing. I was saying the same thing because I'm looking at the first 15 plays and I'm like, yo, you three and out. It's like, we don't have no running plays in there. What happened to the running the ball? So I don't blame AB, but I know I was watching Undisputed on Monday, and Skip actually broke it down as far as the targets, and the targets were they was kind of evenly matched, but I just think that the way the game flow looked, it just looked like, you know, that Brady was trying to force it to AB. But at the same time, everybody got like between 5 to 6 targets. But I think the thing that hurt the Bucs was not trying to run the ball.
Yes. Yeah, they set a record, guys, for the fewest rushing attempts in an NFL game with only 4. And that's crazy. And what you were talking about earlier, you know, like Carl, I mean, and it's to the point of running the ball. The thing that got them there was running Ronald Jones. And I think at this stage of his career, Tom Brady can't carry the entire team every single week. And y'all need to go back to what works. Run the ball and then let the targets, you know, let them play out. So, yeah, I definitely agree with both of you.
Yeah, plus I think the defense will dictate who's going to get the ball. I think when you got Evans going against Lattimore, I don't know why it's a tough matchup for Evans, but the defense dictates that Godwin, Gronk, and Miller and AB are going to get the ball because of I just don't know why Evans don't show up against Lattimore. I think it's kind of in his head right now, but it goes back to what Carl said. The coach has to see the way the game flow is going, and you have to make adjustments to your script. Your script has to be ripped up, and then you got to go by the feel of the game to call plays. But, you know, but I'm going to come to you, bro, about our team. I have a problem with the Washington football team. And my problem started Sunday when Kyle Allen got hurt. Prayers to Kyle Allen, hoping that he recovers. But why would you have Alex Smith as the backup? I don't understand that at all. Haskins should have never went from starter to third string. Haskins should have at least went from starter to second string. That way, if something does happen to Kyle Allen, at least Haskins got a couple games on his belt. He's been under the fire, whereas Alex Smith ain't been under the fire in almost 2 years. And it showed on Sunday and the way he performed. So, you know, man, I'm gonna turn it over to you, bro. How do you feel about the Washington football team quarterback situation?
So, the thing I like, I will tell you, I've always been an Alex Smith fan. And in the course of wanting to win, I feel he gives us the best chance to win with Haskins. I think right now he's not ready. Clearly he's not ready. And I'm thinking he's going to be able to be developed more and learn more from Alex Smith's start. And so right now, I mean, just look at it. We're kind of devoid of talent outside of Scary Terry. You know, Antonio Gibson, he's done well, but I just don't think when it comes back to coaching, I don't think we've done a great job of coaching either. If you ask, if anyone asked us, what is our identity? We don't have one. So I'm thinking of the best thing for Haskins is to sit, watch Alex Smith. We need to get Antonio Gibson the ball. McKissick, he's a great, I feel, third down back. We just got to find an identity. I mean, what do you think, Lee, as far as, like, what our identity will be? Because I know they want to run, but they're not, they really haven't stuck to nothing.
Now, I'm going to let Carl jump in. What you think, bro?
I think I like Haskins. I like what he brings to the table, but I do think he needs to sit and watch and learn for a minute. But I really think that, you know, he could take over the team. I think he may be the better quarterback overall eventually, even than Allen. Allen got the skill, but I think Haskins brings that wow factor that you got, but you have to get him ready. You know, I don't know if he has a quarterback coach outside of, you know, what he has. I don't know who your guy's quarterback coach is, but I mean the personal one. To really, really get him going, because the strides that he's made since college has been monumental. And I think, you know, he's not on your roster he's on your roster for a reason, but he has to be brought along and brought along slowly. And I think he can end up taking over.
All right.
Yeah.
I love what both of you guys are saying. But I do agree with you, Carl, about quarterback coach. His mechanics are bad. He do put his wide receivers in bad positions where they get
terrible,
where they gonna get blown up. He does do that a lot, and I hate that about the way he plays quarterback, is that he doesn't think about you can't get your wide receivers blown up, because then your wide receivers, they start short-arming stuff, and they ain't going to go all out. He does do that. His mechanics are bad. Then the second thing he did that kind of made me worry, bro, is when they demoted him to third string, he called out. How do you call out as a professional?
See, that's immaturity.
How you call out? He called out, said he had a stomach flu or something. So that kind of shook me the wrong way. But the only reason I want to see Haskins play is because Alex Smith doesn't push the ball down the field. At least Haskins is going to push the ball down the field. If you don't push the ball down the field, guess what the defense does? They know they don't have to cover the deep end of the field.
Yep.
So they're going to push everything up. So your offense becomes easily defendable. And what do everybody call Alex Smith? Check down Charlie.
Yes, sir.
And if you watch the game Sunday, McKissick got, what, 14 targets? I think
yes.
Logan Thomas got double-digit targets. And the only reason McLaurin and Sims had big games was run after the catch. So I know Alex is coming back from a horrific injury. He has experience. But if you want to open up your total playbook, to me, you got to play Haskins. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. But I want to see how Alex Smith plays Sunday against Detroit, being that he's going to get all the snaps, all the reps in practice. So we'll see Sunday whether or not Alex Smith has turned the corner. Let's jump into last night. All right, Jermaine, I'm coming to you for this. Last night we had the Colts versus Tennessee. The Colts ended up really blowing Tennessee out last night, which I thought was a shocker. But from a fantasy perspective, what did you think about the game last night?
Man, so Derrick Henry, even though he was going against, you know, Indy's defense, which is top five in the league, man, they are very stout. He had a good game, but when they had my man score at the goal line, boy, that about killed me last night, man. But he still had 19 carries, 103 yards against the stout, you know, stout defense. He showed out, but unfortunately everybody else, man, they didn't show up. And Indy, man, you can't really start none of them cats, dude, because everybody, including the trainer, catches passes and runs the ball. So, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, as I was watching, I'm like, man, you can't pick up nobody for Indy, bro. So outside of Henry, it wasn't much to talk about other than Hines
a
little bit.
Yeah, he right.
Yeah,
I was just about to ask you
about Indy's running back situation. Because to me, they go with the hot hand. And you never know who the hot hand going to be. I mean, I guess for the past 2 weeks, the last two games has been Hines. But if you look at Jonathan Taylor's stat line, his stat line wasn't bad. So if you how do you sum up Indy's running back situation, big bro?
Well, yeah, it comes down to Hines and Taylor, but Taylor's stat line wasn't good either on the fact that he only had 7 carries. He can't do anything with that. He had 7 carries. And he had 2 receptions on 2 targets. So let's say he had 9 touches. That's not enough for a back like Taylor. The problem with Indy, even though they won the game, is they really didn't focus on the run. Really, they let Phillip Rivers go out there and toss the ball around, and, you know, they end up basically blowing them out. But the old adage of run the ball to win, you know, pass for first downs and touchdowns and all that, it's not working for Tennessee, at least it didn't last night, because they ran the ball like they supposed to, but it didn't work out. Again, you know, not – for the game, they didn't win. Everybody who owned Derrick Henry, they feel pretty good. They got a couple points out of them. No touchdowns, but, you know, they got some points out of them. They got 10. Enough to not put them on the bench and be mad like I would.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, for me, I own Tannehill and A.J. Brown in a couple of leagues. And actually, I was kind of mad I know it's gonna come back and bite me probably this week, but in 2 leagues I got Tannehill and Jared Goff, and I started Jared Goff in 1, and I decided to roll with Tannehill in another one, and I was like, all right, I'll just roll with Tannehill and see what happens. Man, I was like, lo and behold, I'm like, gracious. He really didn't do nothing. A.J. Brown really didn't do nothing. Tennessee's offense really didn't do nothing outside of Derrick Henry. And then my thing is, why is Foreman scoring touchdowns?
Yeah,
that doesn't help anybody. Why is Deontay Foreman scoring touchdowns? So, you know, man, Jonnu Smith owners, you know, he's become touchdown dependent, and he had a touchdown last night. But outside of that, if you didn't own Nyheim Hines and maybe Phillip Rivers, it was kind of a boring fantasy night last night. But next week, next week should be a good one. We got Arizona traveling to Seattle. We got Kyler Murray going against Russell Wilson next Thursday. So I'm looking forward to next Thursday. But look, man,
oh, it's gonna be plenty
last week was week
night.
8. Huh?
There's going to be plenty points scored next Thursday night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But look, man, let's get into it, man. You know, last week was week 8. I wanted to do the mid-season awards last week, but we decided to wait this week for the big bro to come back. So, all right, man, we're going to jump into it. But like always, we're going to get an audience the bad news first. All right, Carl, I'm coming to you. Who is your biggest fantasy disappointment this year?
My biggest disappointment, I started with your boy OBJ, and you know, I felt kind of bad because, you know, he got the little injury. So that led me to Jarvis Landry, because even with OBJ being out, what, last 2 weeks, I think it is, 3 weeks, he has not stepped up to lead that receiving corps the way I thought he would. I mean, I picked the dude up. I started him. I'm like, hey, this is the time. But, you know, he letting, what's my man name, Higgins? He about to take over that doggone team. He about to take over with OBJ being out. And I just knew this was Landry's time to shine, because I felt like he'd been sitting. I mean, ever since he got traded up there, you know, he hasn't done anything since he got there, except for that, you know, first couple of games. And that's it. This year, he's been straight trash, bro. I mean, he literally almost on drop mode like Gallup.
That's crazy, because I'm actually going to get him this week. I'm going to play him this week against Houston, coming off a bye, and with Chubb Rock coming back this week, hopefully. It should open up more passing lanes for Baker. And I think Cleveland needs to play Landry in the slot more. They need to play him in the slot more. Stop putting him on the outside. You got Higgins and the young kid Peoples to put on the outside. Put Landry in the slot and let him go to work in the middle of the field. I really didn't think Landry would have a big year because of OBJ. I think this is his time to shine this second half of the year. And if he don't come out blazing against Houston, I kind of agree with you, bro. I think you might have to drop him and look at other options, or hopefully your wide receiver depth is deep enough where you don't have to depend on him. All right, Jermaine, who is your biggest disappointment?
By far, to me, it's going to be Lamar Jackson, bro. I admit, I was one of those guys that had the big head, and once I thought, oh, man, shoot, man, I got Lamar, and I can just build around Lamar and take some risks as far as, you know, some of my draft picks. But, man, he severely hurt me, man. If you would have told me Teddy Bridgewater has more fantasy points than Lamar Jackson coming in the season, I'd have said, man, you smoking crack. I mean, I wouldn't have believed you. And the thing, I'm kind of worried about him, guys, because the same thing that's happening in the Cam, I'm thinking it's starting to happen with Lamar. The defenses are starting to catch up with him. They did a great breakdown on him the other day, man, on ESPN. He's only like 29%, if I'm not mistaken, like completion outside on the numbers. So most of all,
that's the problem right there.
That's the problem. So he's only throwing, they said, man, he was talking about they're only they're calling out plays. And he said one of the defensive players said they only throw to two people, that's Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown. So they hurt, bro. So I'm thinking they'll figure it out, man. He's going to have to change something coming in the second half.
You know what, man? That's a good segue because, Big Bro, didn't you ask us last week or this week something about Lamar Jackson, about you was looking at trading him or you was trading somebody else?
Yeah. I was gonna trade him for two players. I was gonna trade him out because I had Big Ben sitting on the bench and I was starting him anyway. So yeah, I was trying to dump him and get something by his name because his stats ain't giving nothing, but his name is still getting me a decent player out of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know on a preview show, Big Bro, if you recall, remember when I was saying Lamar Jackson that I would take Mahomes over Lamar because I said I don't think defense is going to let him run on them the way they did last year.
Yeah.
So I thought his passing game would have been better. But for some strange reason, their offense don't do anything outside the numbers. And when defenses know that you can't do something, they are going to do everything in their power to negate your strength. Because Andrews is having a bad year this year. Man, Hollywood really isn't having a good year either. So, but, man, you know, he still plays, he plays Cleveland again. He plays Cincinnati again. I think he has a game coming up against Dallas. He has a game coming up against the Giants. So, you know, you gotta think about the matchups. But the Giants defense really hasn't been that bad. So you might have to think twice about starting him against the Giants. But my biggest disappointment, damn, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I love this cat. Man, what happened to D-Hop, man? D-Hop started off the season. He started off the season on fire. He had like 13 catches in the first game. And then the last couple weeks, man, he's been almost like a no-show. I don't know whether or not he got a nick or something that's preventing his normal output when he was playing with Deshaun. But man, he just hasn't been there, man. And he's not a player you gonna cut. But you just sitting there like, yo, when you gonna show up? When you gonna show up? Every week you like, all right, I need you this week, D-Hop. You know, you give him on the pat talk, the pat on the back. You're like, yo, I need you. And maybe it ain't the offense because he's the number one receiver. He's the number one. Undoubtedly the number one. I mean, Fitz does his thing. Yeah, Fitz had a good game last week. And Christian Kirk is opportunistic. They don't have a tight end. So he is the guy. So I'm kind of worried about D-Hop. But my biggest disappointment, y'all, and I know y'all are with me on this because y'all probably had it on y'all paper, is Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Zeke has been a total no-show since he got paid. If you go back to last year, he'll get the goal line touchdowns. You know, he had a game where he had like 70 yards rushing and maybe 40 yards receiving. But that ain't the Zeke you drafted. The Zeke you drafted is supposed to be getting you like between 125 yards combined yardage per game and a touchdown. He is coming nowhere near that, bro. He is lucky if he gets 60 yards rushing and maybe 20 yards receiving. I am totally disappointed in Zeke. And with Dak going down, he should have been even more ready to eat and feed Zeke and all that his game mm-hmm. fell off even more since that went mm-hmm. down. So if people mm-hmm. can say
Absolutely.
Mike McCarthy, if people can say Mike McCarthy doesn't like to feature running back, Zeke has been given opportunities. So I don't mm-hmm. want to hear that he's just not playing up the part this year.
No. Zeke went out. Zach went out. Against Arizona.
Shoot, I'm
He went out against the Rams.
Okay. So
and they were losing.
So the last. Yeah, at that point, yeah. So let's say the last four games, Zeke has 12 carries, 19, and 18 carries. Never went past 63 yards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, you can't hide that. You can't hide
it. Yeah, they need you. They need you to run this ball.
I'm thinking
people will. He is not a franchise running back at this time. If I drafted that dude with one of my top three or four picks like most people did, I'd be mad right now. I'd be spitting fire.
See, Jermaine, you wasn't on the preview show. Next year, we will get you on the preview show. We're going to have a Four Horsemen preview show next year. But we got to bring Tracy back. So you're going to be on the preview show next year. But, bro, remember we was talking about Zeke and Saquon? Remember I was like, man, I just don't trust Saquon, man. And Tracy was like, well, you know he's going to get touches and carries. But my whole thing with Zeke was you could just tell by the way the Cowboys' offense was going, they was becoming an air at our offense. So if he didn't score a touchdown, he really wasn't going to help you. Because even when Dak was in there, he was only getting goal line touches because Dak was airing it out. So I'm going to wait and see guy on Zeke, especially next year, because I do have him in one league. But, man, I've definitely been disappointed in Zeke. All right, Jermaine, coming at you with this one, bro. Go ahead.
That's it.
No, I said I just hope that next year, if I'm in the top five, I don't get pushed into a position where I got to draft this guy.
Well, Carl, that's one thing about us being veterans in fantasy football. You don't get pushed in a corner. You go with your gut feeling. If you feel that he ain't your guy, you know, you go to the next guy. Because I think I drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Zeke.
Wow.
I did take him over Zeke.
Wow.
I think I had the fourth pick. But Clyde really ain't doing nothing either, so he was on my list too. All right, Jermaine, so I'm coming to you.
Another addition?
Give me your biggest surprise of the year.
I'm going with DK Metcalf, y'all. Coming in, you know, I followed him in his career. Physical specimen, fast. But the biggest thing on him coming in was his lack of lateral ability and agility. So to see what he's done so far, man, I never would have guessed it, bro. So I'm thinking right now he's in the top like two or three. As far as in fantasy points at his position, actually number two, 788 yards, 8 touchdowns. Man, I'm just surprised at DK, man. And that group of receivers, Russell has, man, they're going to be probably together for the next 10 years, man, with DK and Lockett. But DK is definitely my biggest surprise, man, moving forward.
And I think that's why Russ came out and said, let's Russ cook. Because he knew what he had in Metcalf. He knew what he had in Lockett. He knew what he had in the other kid, David Moore, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Carl's boy from Florida. So they got wide receivers who can get open and run after the catch. And in today's football, yes, you can pound the ball 25 times, 30 times a game. But running the ball is cute, but throwing the ball score points. So, I kind of, you know, DK, I think if he has about two more solid games, I think he's going to be first team all pro. I'm going out on the limb on that one, but he might be first team all pro. All right, big bro, give me your surprise.
Man, my surprise, man, is somebody I didn't really think was going to do much of anything. That's Joe Burrow. I mean, I know what he came into the league with coming out of LSU, but my man has lit the AFC North on fire. And, I'm shocked about that considering that the defense has played in that league, I mean, that division. But, you know, I think the Bengals got him one, and, you know, next 2-3 years, if he keeps growing in leaps and bounds that he's doing, it's going to be trouble for Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you know, the perennials. I think Cincy may step up and, you know, maybe be trying to do Super Bowl shuffle. I don't know. Dude,
man.
Five straight games of 300-yard passing for a rookie now.
Yeah.
That's crazy because I wrote down Joe Burrow, too. But I'm going to go another way, man. I was going to go with Herbert, but I'm going to go with somebody Jermaine been raving about all year. I'm going with the running back out of Jacksonville, man. James Robinson has been a pleasant surprise, man, because when the season started, you didn't know who was going to be their starting running back because you knew it wasn't going to be Chris Thompson because Chris Thompson is – basically a third down change of pace back. And then when the other kid, I can't think of his name right now, who I ended up drafting in the 16th round thinking he was going to be the starter, but he ended up getting COVID, and he didn't even end up playing. So all of a sudden you had this Robinson kid come out of nowhere who's basically the running game and the passing game for Jacksonville. I think he's going to probably finish in the top 10 in fantasy running back scoring. He's getting the touches in both the running game and the passing game. He just needs to get his touchdowns up, but I've definitely been pleasantly surprised with James Robinson running back for Jacksonville.
Yeah, man. Been trying to tell y'all guys, man. So, yeah, he's solid, man. Yeah, he's solid, man.
Hey.
He's solid.
Hey, that dude came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's why he's a surprise, dog. All right,
I mean, not only a surprise, but that's a dude that just sits on he on the waiver wire, and you're like, oh, let me pick this guy up. He had a good game, and then he just took off from there. Like, I wish I had picked that dude up.
All
right, big bro. Who is your midseason fantasy MVP?
The same dude who was on my preseason MVP. That ain't changed. It's Dangerous. That didn't change,
yes,
bro.
Sir.
He living up. I told you. I gave y'all
the
stats back then. I'm telling you now.
Yeah, you did.
The dude, I mean, right now, you know, he's like, you know, he got 8 interceptions, 28 touchdowns, and I think that's more so because of lack of running game. I'm not going to put all that on him. And, you know, stat-wise, your boy Mahomes got him beat. But, you know, Russell is just – it's his time. I've been saying it. It is his time.
Yeah, you haven't.
To win
you definitely did. You definitely did say it. You was very adamant about it in the previous show, too. And I was kind of skeptical because of his coach, because I know that his coach wants to run the ball. But when you got DK Lockett, Moore and the kid from Florida, and you got a kind of sort of, well, actually, Greg Olsen lost his starting job. Hollister is actually the starter now. So, you know, it's you got to let your quarterback, you got to unleash him, man. And, man, Russ has put up some solid numbers, man. What, he got 28 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I think he got a couple of rushing touchdowns. And he got rushing yards. So, you know, Russ has been basically the whole ship for Seattle this year, man. Yeah. All right, Jermaine. All right, Jermaine.
Yes, sir.
Who's your MVP, man? Mid-season fantasy MVP.
Man, that Super Bowl MVP of last year, bro, Pat Mahomes, man. Then that man, his stats are ridiculous right now, man. This dude is wrong. He's throwing 25 touchdowns, but only one interception for the season, which is, man, that's just ridiculous, man. at 2,600 yards, over 2,600 yards, man, that offense is unstoppable, man. And pretty much the only Denver's defense is decent. Chargers is decent. But, man, he's going to keep on eating for the rest of the year, bro. I don't see nobody stopping him. He really put a dent on me last week. And that's one of the reasons why I lost. I don't see him slowing down. And the season by Brady where he threw 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, he's on pace to break that. And I'm thinking he might this year. So I'm going with Mahomes.
Man, only reason I get that call to pause is because he's going to play 2 solid defenses coming up. He's going to play against Tampa Bay's defense, and he's going to play against New Orleans' defense. I think those are 2 defenses that could give him probably some problems, maybe some problems, but 25-1, that's crazy. 25 touchdowns, 1 interception. I actually have Mahomes at the top of my list. But being that you guys took Mahomes and Russ, I'm going to go outside the box, man. Kyler Murray has been on a tear, bro. Kyler Murray has definitely surprised me. Kyler Murray is throwing the ball, running the ball. He's not turning the ball over, except he had a fumble return for a touchdown Sunday. But with the addition of D-Hop, he has definitely become more electric because you have to kind of sort of double-team D-Hop, which leaves everybody else one-on-one and leaves him lanes to run the ball. I have definitely been surprised by Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray numbers are going to get even better as the season goes along. This week he plays Buffalo at home. Then he travels to Seattle. I think this is a 2-game stretch. If he plays well in these 2 games, watch out, NFL. Kyler Murray is here. So, but I had 2 other names that I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about Devontae Adams and Dalvin Cook. But I'm not going to talk about Devontae. But I think Dalvin Cook has a chance to definitely have a big-time fantasy year because he's the focal point of the offense. Zimmerman wants to run the ball. So, second half of the year, Dalvin Cook plays, Detroit. He gets to play he don't play Green Bay again. He gets to play Detroit.
Yeah, he played Dallas.
Yeah, he played Dallas, yep. I think they play us, too. So, Dalvin Cook has a chance to have a big-time year. But, all right, man, we got about 15 minutes left, so we're going to shoot through our sits. All right, Carl, give me a quarterback you're looking at sitting this week.
I know I just gave my man a lot of props, but I'm sitting Joe Burrow this week against the Steelers. Last time he was on the road, he got his butt tore out the frame by Baltimore. And I'm feeling the Steelers can do the same.
Hey, no said on that one. All right, Jermaine, give me a quarterback you looking at six.
Man, to be honest, that's the one what I'm thinking of myself. After that, just completely awful performance. But I'm thinking, man, the thing about Lamar, I'm thinking of sitting here, man, because Belichick is not going to let you. Whatever you want to do, Belichick is not going to let you do it. So I can guarantee he's not going to be throwing the ball all to Mark Andrews this week. He is going to make him throw outside of the numbers and do the things that he doesn't want to do. And I'm thinking they're going to do a good job on locking him down this week, man.
All right. Well, this gonna make my brother happy, my big bro happy. I'm sitting Teddy Bridgewater this week. I think Tampa Bay defense is gonna be fired up this week after their performance they put on last week. I think they're gonna take it out on Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's gonna get hit a lot in this game. I think the secondary is gonna lock down Robbie Anderson. And DJ Moore has become basically a non-factor. So, and with C-Mac being out this week, yeah, Tampa Bay defense going to come in there and they're going to do a number on Teddy Bridgewater. Jermaine, give me a running back you looking at sitting this week.
Based off of last week's game, Carl, I hate to say it, man, I don't know about starting Ronald Jones. Rojo, man, he been playing well, but ever since Leonard Fournette has came back, it's really hurt his touches, man. I don't think no one knows who is really going to carry the ball for most of the games now with that backfield, man. Now it's a crowded backfield. It's in now a timeshare. I think that's another candidate that if you might have, you might think of moving him, man, because pretty much I've tried to put every Tampa Bay Buck on the trade block ever since AB's came back. So that's going to be a touch-and-go start, man. Who do you start, and how many carries are they going to get?
Well, I can tell you this. You start Ronald Jones, and if you have Fournette, you start him too, because what they're doing is outside of last week, they are averaging about 15 carries apiece. So that's worthy. That's worthy of starting both guys if you have them. Similarly to Hunt and Chubb when they're both rocking. Last week we got taken out of our game real early, and as you stated, we might have had 7 carries. And so I wouldn't sit Ronald Jones based off of last week because every other week besides week two, he's had at least double-digit carries. So I wouldn't sit that guy.
Mm. All right, bro. Big bro is on you. Give me a running back you looking at sitting this week.
I'm sitting Jarrett McKinnon this week. I think you mentioned earlier about, he catches out of backfield. But going up against the Saints, who've given up the fewest points to the last 2 weeks to running backs, I mean, he shut our Bucs down. You know, I mean, you can say he just shut them down because they took the run totally away by getting a lead almost like that. And I think San Francisco is banged up all over the place. Where I think the Saints are going to get after them, and they in New Orleans. And so I don't see no reason to start McKinnon this week. In my opinion.
And plus, I think if I'm reading the news reports right, Raheem Mostert might be back this week. Shanahan came out and said that Mostert has a good chance of playing this week. So that'll definitely put McKinnon and Hasty back in their roles, but McKinnon will probably be the third down back and Mostert will be basically the cowbell. I wrote down all New England running backs going against Baltimore defense. I think Baltimore is going to come in with a game plan of stop the run. Let's see if Cam beat us through the air. And who is Cam going to beat us through the air with? Jacoby Myers, Demir Bird, Ryan Izzo, Gunnar Olszewski. Those names don't even scare us, and we don't even play ball. I mean, we're talking about ball, and I'm like, shit, I probably can cover Gunnar Olszewski. So,
get my key.
Yeah. I probably could go out there and get in front of him. So, I think Baltimore is going to make a concerted effort of stopping our New England's run game and making Cam beat them through the air. You know, Damian Harris has been pretty decent, but I just don't see Baltimore letting them run the ball. So, all New England running backs, probably James White will probably be good in PPR, but outside of that, nah, man. You got a New England running back, look elsewhere. Okay, big bro, give me a wide receiver you sitting this week.
I'm sitting your boy Hollywood Brown against the Patriots. I think they're gonna put JC Jackson on him. And outside of your boy, your tight end, and they ain't got nothing else left after that. Not to mention the boys got that points have gone and his points have gone down the last few weeks. So he's not helping the team. Him or you know, we talk about him, all he got is him and Mark Edwards. And that's catching the ball, and they shutting them boys down. Mark Edwards' numbers down because they can't really pass the ball. You know what I'm saying?
I think Gilmore's going to be
Hollywood.
I think they're going to put Gilmore.
I think Gilmore's still out this week. Oh, yeah. If he plays.
Yeah. I think they're going to put Gilmore on Andrews and let J.C. man up on Hollywood, and then Bill Belichick is going to say, if you're going to beat me with Sneed and Boykins, then we deserve to lose. So
that's it.
But, yeah, man, I actually had Hollywood ran down, too. All right, Jermaine, give me a wide receiver you're looking at sitting this week.
Going against Chicago this week, Justin Jefferson. He started out hot. But he's seen five or fewer targets in the last five games. And going up against Chicago, man, they've only allowed three touchdowns to wide receivers all year. And I don't see that changing. I'm thinking they're going to really get after Kirk Cousins this coming week. And they're all going to nullify not only him but Thielen, but definitely Justin Jefferson. I don't think he's going to get much of anything this week, man, going up against that front seven of Chicago, dude.
Man, we all are kind of sort of in the same boat, and I'm going to do this again. I'm going Cincinnati wide receivers, man. Only one that has a good chance of having a good day is probably Tyler Boyd in the slot. But like Carl said, man, against Pittsburgh defense, that pass rush, I just don't see Joe Burrow had an effective day. And especially with Joe Mixon being out, it's going to be a tough day for Joe Burrow and his first visit to the big ketchup bottle, I think it's called now, Heinz Stadium. So if you got any Cincinnati receivers, I would probably look elsewhere this week. The only one I would probably look at starting is probably Tyler Boyd. Outside of that, no, sir. No Cincinnati pass catchers are going to be on my team this week. We're not going to do tight ends. So let's go to our starts, man. Let's have some fun. Carl, give me a quarterback that should be in your lineup this week.
Oh, man, let me tell you. If you got that man Tua Tagovailoa, did I say that right?
Nope.
Ooh,
talk about
I don't know. I can't pronounce it either.
Hey, yeah, Tagovailoa. Start that guy.
Wow, why you starting two against the Chargers?
Right, because you know what, man? He's like he's an X factor right now. I honestly would start him if he was going against the doggone Colts or Pittsburgh, because similarly to your boy down in Arizona, I just like this dude. I think these guys have it. And guys with it, you start. I don't care who the defense is, you start those guys, and you let them just do what they do. And this dude has shown that he got it. He made a believer out of me last week. I'm starting that dude. If I don't have Mahomes, you know, or Aaron Rodgers, you know, guys like that, I'm looking like, okay, I'm strictly looking at matchups at that point, not dealing with the name. But you know me, guys. Like I told you before, I got Lamar in one of my leagues, and he's been on my bench like 3 weeks in a row because Aaron Rodgers is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers get Jacksonville this week.
Yeah, he's definitely sitting this week. So, yeah, start Tua. Tag, you know who I'm talking about.
Tonga Valoa.
Yeah, that
I got your back, bro. I got your back. Actually, you know, man, damn, I'm still kind of skeptical of Tua, man. But the Chargers defense has been giving it up here lately. So, and their defense is pretty good. Miami's defense is pretty good. And as long as their defense is the number one scoring defense and they shutting other teams down, he's going to get opportunities. So, that's a shocker, but I like it. All right, Jermaine, give me a quarterback.
All right, man. Man, I hope everything is good with him this week, man, because they got Big Ben in COVID protocol. But if he is cleared, I'm definitely going to say starting Ben versus Cincinnati. Man, he's killed Cincinnati ever since he's been in the league, bro. He has a plethora of weapons. I think it's an A1 start. But if he's not, my 1B, it would be Jared Goff this week going against Seattle. You already know they give up a lot of points. And pretty much, y'all, anybody starting against Seattle any week, I would start him anyway. But Jared Goff with good with Kupp, with Woods, Higbee, Everett. I'm thinking they're going to put up a lot of points too. So I would go with Ben, and if Ben is not available, I would definitely go with Jared Goff.
Man, I wrote Jared Goff was my number one starter too because I was like, hell, they just gave up 400 yards to Jared Allen last week. So, and I think the Rams have better skilled position players than the Bills do outside of Stephon Diggs. You asked me, I like Robert Woods better than I like Stephon Diggs, but hey, I'm gonna throw this out there, and I know y'all probably gonna like y'all might fall out y'all seats. I'm going with Baker, dog. I'm going with Shake and Bake this week, man. Going against Houston's defense, man. Houston's defense ain't what it used to be. They used to be able to generate a lot of pressure on the quarterback, which basically let they lackluster secondary kind of get away with, you know, shoddy play. But when you can't generate a pass rush against these quarterbacks these days, they are going to find an open man. And I think when you get Baker time, he's a better quarterback. And plus, he plays better at home. I guess it's those progressive commercials, but he plays better at home. And I think the biggest factor to Baker playing good this week is I think Chubb Rock going to be back this week. And if Chubb Rock is back, that play-action game is going to be off the chain. And my boy Landry should be the beneficiary of Chubb Rock being back. So I'm going with Baker Mayfield to start this week going against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jermaine, give me a running back that people have to put in their lineup this weekend.
Man, I feel good about this one, man. Since Devontae Freeman's out, he's been ruled out already. I'm going with Wayne Gallman, man. Wayne Gallman Jr., dude, he scored three straight games. He catches passes. He's getting a bulk of the carries. I think it's Deion Lewis. They had a couple of carries, him and Alfred Morris. But they really trust Wayne. He has a good matchup. Philadelphia has given up the 10th fewest points. However, I'm thinking they will be. I'm thinking it's going to be more points scored because it's a division game, so they kind of know each other. And Wayne Gallman, he's played well the last few games, man. So if you need a stretch starter as a number two back or a flex, I'm thinking Wayne Gallman is going to do good this week.
The only pushback I would give you on that, bro, is Alfred Morris has been getting like 10 to 15 rushes since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of problematic, but Gallman has looked more explosive. And plus, Gallman is getting the goal line touches. And I do think that game is going to be more – I think it's going to be high scoring, being that both Philly's coming off a bye and the Giants are definitely playing better. So I think this game will be high scoring. My running back that I'm looking at starting this week, I talked about James Robinson earlier. He's going against Green Bay. But I'm going to put a big smile on my big bro face. Hey, man, I think Fournette is a play this week. I think Fournette is a start. I think Ronald Jones has been effective. But if you look at the last game against Carolina, Fournette was more effective in that game. He had the long touchdown run. And if you see the way the game flow has been going the last couple of weeks for Tampa Bay, it's definitely been going 50-50. But Fournette has been more of the goal line guy in the game. And he has been getting quite a few passes thrown to him also. So I think Tampa Bay is going to be on fire this week. I think the defense is going to be fired up. And I think the offense might go for 40 in this game. So if you got Fournette, I will probably play him in my flex position this week. And I will probably do that with utmost confidence.
Indeed. Well, let's see. My start this week, I had two of them, and you guys didn't touch one. But because I like the way that you talked about your boy Baker, I'm going to ride the Kareem Hunt bus. I don't want you guys to be concerned because Chubb is back, because even when they was together, they were both running the ball, and I think Cleveland was a better team with both of those guys out there running the rock. But they're going against Houston, who gave up third most fantasy points to running back, and Kareem Hunt is averaging – a ton of doggone points just against this team. So don't be worried. Go ahead and start him. Double digits every week except for 3 weeks so far. And that was even with Chubb in the backfield with him. So start Kareem Hunt going against the ragged behind Houston team that's given up 145 rushing yards a game.
That's crazy because I think in one league I'm starting Chubb and Hunt. I'm starting Chubb as my running back one, and I got Hunt as my running back two.
Yeah, but you can do that. You can do that with that team.
Yeah, you can do that, man. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
And you know what? Isn't it funny how, like during the preseason show, I always talk about how I stay totally away from shared backfield. But the Browns and the Bucks are the only two teams that I wouldn't mind picking up the second guy on each team because they get about the same amount of carries.
Yeah, because I think it's like you said, Kareem Hunt does play better with Chubb, But some people fail to realize that Kareem Hunt was a leading rusher when he played for Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, all right, big bro, coming to you, man. Give me a wide receiver that has to be in people lineups this week.
Oh, man. You know what? You talked down about my man for a minute, but I'm about to bring him up. I'm about to, you know, raise him up, get him all hyped up to go out here and put something on Buffalo, and that's your boy D-Hop.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think you know, with Kyle Murray out there slinging it, I said he gonna get him the ball. I think this is his week. You know, he started to turn the corner against Seattle, which everybody eats off those guys. But then, you know, I'm not too mad about his performance in Miami because he was on the target three times. That's a quarterback problem. That's not a DeAndre Hopkins problem. And I'm hoping that what's that coach? Kingsbury. I hope that he had a meeting with my man Kyle Murray and said, look, bro, we paying this guy a bunch of money. Get him some touches. Cause there's no way you get D-Hop just three targets, bro. And then you score 31 points. That's, you can't do that to this guy. He's the type of talent that you got to give him at least 10 touches a game, at minimum. So I think this week, this week he'll show up.
All right, bro, are you worried about him going against Tre'Davious White?
Because it's not. I don't think Tre'Davious White can stop D-Hop if he's motivated, knowing he's getting the ball.
No.
He can't stop D-Hop.
He can't stop D-Hop.
Okay. Okay. All right, Jermaine, give me a wide receiver that you're starting this week.
Man, I'm going with my comeback player of the year to me, Will Fuller. This man has been on a tear, y'all. He scored six straight games, over 100 yards in three of them. A-plus matchup this week coming up with Cleveland. They've given up the most fifth most points to wide receivers. And Watson, he's been playing really well. Will Fuller, I guarantee you, he was not on nobody's really radar because of his injury history. But surprisingly, he has been healthy this year. Definitely a must start. I will put him in the start lineup pretty much every week going forward.
Man, why you do this to me? I don't trust Fuller, man. I do not trust Fuller at all, dog. Because one thing about Fuller is he'll put together two games and then he'll pull his hamstring. It's like that's Will Fuller's career. He'll have two or three games, pull his hamstring, out two or three games. But he's been solid. He's been solid. I can't deny that. He's been solid. But I'm going another way, big bro, little bro. I'm going another way. I play this week. He pulled an okie doke on me last week. I'm going with Allen Lazard, man. I'm going with Allen Lazard against Jacksonville. Green Bay is playing Jacksonville in Green Bay. He was putting together a solid season prior to his core surgery. And, you know, he practiced last week. It was some report saying he was going to play last week. So me, foolishly enough, put him in my lineup just right on kickoff. They said he wasn't going to play, so it was too late for me to take him off my lineup. But I'm going with Allen Lazard, man, going against Jacksonville. I think they probably going to get Devontae probably all his touches and catches probably in the first quarter and probably get Lazard going in the second quarter. Third quarter, you probably see a mixed match of Lazard, Aaron Jones, and Devontae. And if they get a big enough lead, they probably won't play in the fourth. So I'm going out on Lazard, man, to have a solid game in his first game back after injury, going against Jacksonville. And if he plays good in this game, you have to look at him probably has probably been a wide receiver 3 or 2, depending on the matchup, because Devontae can't be your 15, 20 target a game guy and nobody else gets targeted at all, because defense or Denver starts shadowing him, trying to double him. So Lazard has to have a big game, and I think he gets it started this week. All right.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jermaine.
Oh, I was going to say, man, I just checked on him. They said he has to be cleared by Saturday in order to play Sunday. So he's going to be – it's pretty much up in the air, but if he is cleared Saturday, he can play Sunday. But right now, it's up in the air right now. So I would definitely stay glued, you know, just to check his progress on Saturday, because he has to they said he has to activate him Saturday if he's going to suit up Sunday. So definitely keep your eyes on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would start him this week, even if the matchup is great, because just like last week, right now they got him, you know, game time decision. I'm not gonna put my lineup to chance on a wide receiver 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I got somebody else who I feel can get me at least 10 points, then I'm going to start him, and I keep Lazard on my bench for next week for that reason. Plus, I want to see him get some rust off first. I can't just bring you in like Jerry Rice. You just start, bro. I don't care what you do. You just start. I can't do that with this guy yet because he's not number one receiver.
But that was the issue, though. They said he practiced last week. They said he practiced last week. He practiced, and they had a short week, I want to say, last week. They played on Thursday, right? Yeah, they played.
Yes.
They played the Niners.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they played on Thursday, and they said he practiced last week, and he traveled with the team, and he worked out pregame. So I don't know what happened with that, but – you know, like I said, I will be monitoring it this week because I can't have another 0 this week. All right, Jermaine, give me a tight end you starting this week.
Man, that one there, brother, pretty much every week that's a toss up.
Again, it is.
it's the hardest. It's the hardest.
Man, I ain't lying, bro. You know what? I would tell you, if Dallas Goedert is available, I definitely would pick him up. That's Carson Wentz's favorite target. Goedert is definitely a top 5 tight end when healthy, outside of Ertz, of course. So I would definitely go with Dallas Goedert this week.
Man, that's crazy because I got Dallas Goedert also. All right, big bro, give me a tight end you looking at starting this week.
Yeah, I'm starting Evan Engram against Philly this week. You know, the Giants don't have a whole lot of weapons, but Evan Engram has scored double digits last 3 weeks. I don't see why he's going to stop now. Let's keep rolling. If you got him, start him. I happen to have this guy in, I think, 2 leagues, and he's an every-week starter right now for me.
Man, I remember Evan Engram against the last game against the Eagles where he dropped that damn wide over pass that could have won them the game, but that's neither here nor there. So, man, like little bro said, boy, this is a tough one to pick. I'm going with Tyler Kroft with the Bills, man. Jerry Allen seems to definitely look for him when they're in a goal-to-goal situation. It seems like he's the primary target. When they get the goal-to-goal, they run a lot of 3 tight end sets, and he's the focal point of those sets. So if you got Tyler Kroft, I know he's touchdown-dependent, but I do see Buffalo being able to score on Arizona. I see them being able to move the ball on Arizona. So if you got a tight end or you streaming your tight ends, I will probably stream Tyler Croft this week. And I'll probably stream Gerald Everett this week also. So, yeah, man, tight end is kind of – it's tough to pick, man. It's real tough to pick. So, last up, we got defense. All right, big bro, give me a defense you starting this week.
Back to that same game, man. I'm picking Philly. I'm picking Philly defense against the Giants. You know, the Giants, I mean, your boy Jones is throwing interceptions. I really don't know if that dude, if he's the future of that franchise, but I can care less because it ain't, he don't, Dan Jones don't look good unless he's playing the Bucks. No shade. but, yeah, but the Eagles scored 9 points last time they faced the Giants. I think they can get a double digit this week, maybe 20 points. So, we'll see. I think, that, you know, they in first in the NFC East right now, and I think they're trying to hold on to it in that crazy behind division where everybody got a losing record. Somebody got to come out of there, and I think the Eagles are best equipped to come out in that division besides, you know, no disrespect to the team for Washington.
Hey, no disrespect taken. all right, man, give me a defense you're looking at starting this week.
Yeah, the New Orleans Saints, man, you know, they play at a different level when they play at home. And they're going up against Nick Mullen. I feel, you know, he's a turnover machine too, almost like Jones. It must be Cousins. I'm thinking he's going to get opportunities, y'all, because they're going to have to throw the ball, which is not what San Fran wants to do, because they're going to – I'm thinking Brees is going to go off. So it's going to give them more opportunities for Cameron Jordan and all them boys, man, to get some sacks, maybe a couple picks. I'm thinking they're going to I think they're going to really run the table on those beat-up 49ers this week.
Man, and the crazy part is this 49ers team looks nothing like the 49ers team that beat New Orleans in New Orleans last year because they don't have Kittle, they don't have Mostert, they don't have Debo, and then Emmanuel Sanders is playing for the Saints. Man, Shanahan... he's going to have to draw up a conservative game plan to keep the Saints' offense off the field. And I just don't think they have the weapons to do it, man. So, but I'm rolling with Miami's defense, man, going against the Chargers. Miami got the number one scoring defense. I think their defense match up well against the Chargers' offense. The only thing Miami's defense don't have an answer for it's probably Keenan Allen in the slot. Once the Chargers move Keenan Allen to the slot, he becomes unguardable. I don't know why the Chargers just don't line him up in the slot all the time, because once he's in the slot, oh, my God, he's just unstoppable. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but every time I see Keenan Allen in the slot, there is no matchup for him. That being said, I think Miami probably locks down the Chargers offense. They get Justin Herbert probably his toughest game, and they limit probably the Chargers probably to about 14 points, 17 points at the most. So you got Miami's defense starting them with confidence. We kind of went over a little bit tonight, but that's okay. Hell, I pay for this platform, so we go over, it's okay. So, but, you know, normally we do this, but I'm going to go ahead and, hell, we already went over. All right, big boy, give me one sleeper. You want Jermaine to go?
Dog, you there?
All right, Jermaine, give me one sleeper.
Hey, I'm sitting here talking and I'm on mute.
Okay.
I'm muting all right, myself. I had a long conversation.
So go ahead and repeat that conversation. Give me your one sleeper this week.
So don't sleep over man Scotty Miller. I think even with AB there, I think this week they're gonna get back to their roots and just work AB in. But I think they're gonna let Scotty Miller do his third down receiver thing, and I think he's gonna have a big game against the Panthers this week.
Okay, so a homer pick from our bro, homer pick, so I ain't mad about that.
I get that way sometimes.
I know. It's okay. It's all love. All right, Jermaine, give me your sleeper pick. Give me your sleeper this week.
I'm going to go with your boy in the your backyard, man, Tim Patrick, man. He's really been playing well. He's one of Drew Locke's favorite targets, and he had a string of 100-yard games, man, broken with his last game. I feel like he's their most consistent receiver, because Judy has been kind of, sketchy. But Tim Patrick, man, has been solid, and I'm thinking he's going to have a good game this week.
See, man, my little bro, man, he always put me in a tight situation. Because I had Jerry Judy as being a sleeper because he had a big game last week, whereas last week Tim Patrick disappeared. So I was going to say Jerry Judy, but I'm going to go with Emmanuel Sanders, man. Michael Thomas, a lot of defenses seem to roll their coverage to Michael Thomas, and that leaves Emmanuel Sanders normally one-on-one, and he's going against the 49ers, his former team. And the Niners' defense is decimated. So I look for Emmanuel Sanders to have another solid game. Probably about four catches, 40 yards, and a touchdown. So I look for Emmanuel Sanders to have a solid game this week. So our sleepers are Emmanuel Sanders, Tim Patrick, and who you say, bro? You said somebody. Oh, Scotty Miller. Okay. So those are your sleepers for the week. So, week 10, we just wrapped it up. We went a little over tonight, but that's okay. We gave you all the information you needed. We had fun doing our mid-season MVPs, disappointments, and surprises. Any last words, Jermaine?
Man, just stay safe. Like you say, wear your mask, and if you got a good matchup, man, just I say it every week. Just trust it, man. Don't second guess yourself. Go with your gut.
Yeah.
All right, big bro. Any last words?
Yeah, I second everything Maine said. But especially the second guessing. Once you do your homework for your lineup. You check back on Sunday after church for your iffies. Those one guys, you're like, I don't know, this guy may be injured, whatever. Roll with that, man. Don't make any adjustment. You'll be upset with yourself. I've done it many times. And this is what we in week 10?
Mm-hmm.
Week 9, week 10? Some of us are fighting for playoff spots. Some of us trying to knock some people out of the playoffs. One more bit of advice: looking at your team, look at your league, and watch for that guy who he's 5-4 or 4-5, but he got like 1,000 points scored. That dude is going to be a problem if he gets into the playoffs.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Well, for me, man, I got my head busted in all last week. I think I won one game seven Yahoo leagues. I won one game. I got my head beat in and all the rest of them, but that's okay. And I live to see week 10. And week 10 is a whole new week. That means you get a whole new life. So, hey,
yes.
Trying to move forward. You know, it's all good. So,
Hey, fellas, before we leave, can we talk about the Big Clark Invitational?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
You know.
We can talk about it. Let's talk about it. We got time.
Hey.
Okay,
you know,
I said
last week, yeah, 2 weeks ago, you know, my brother put it on me. I wasn't happy. But he put it on me. I felt like, you know, somehow he paid my players off or something. And the boy didn't show up. I was hot.
Yeah,
I felt,
man,
like a kid that had to go to bed without his dessert.
hey Lee, I got him though. Hey, I got him for you last week. He would have beat me. It was a play that it was a flag, wasn't it, Carl? And it negated the run, and you end up losing by one.
1 point, man. 1 point. 1 point.
Yeah, man.
I was sitting there looking at my phone like, he better not text me about that point, boy.
I ain't bothered you. I know how you do, man.
Well, looking at the Big Clark Invitational, you know, my big bro saying that one, I'm saying that two. Jermaine saying that five. Jermaine afforded his way back up at 4-5.
He did.
But it's only like four teams with winning records. That's me, big bro, Dwight, who smashed me last week. And I can't stand this guy. We played drunk. Oh, my God. I cannot stand this
guy.
Hey,
you leave my man, Eddie
Kane
out there.
Oh, my God. I can't stand this dude, man. So,
Eddie Kane got that trash, man.
But it's crazy, though, because between 5 and 10, they all on 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
And then between 4-1, you know, we also, I mean, Carl got one loss, got two, and then Dwight got three, and Eddie Kane got four. But I'm at two, and I'm the lowest scoring team. I'm kind of like.
Yeah, bro, I saw that. I'm like, man.
Yeah, I'm like. But it don't matter. It don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you win by a point. If you win by a point, .01, as long as you win. So, but the Big Clark has definitely been, it's definitely been fun this year. We got to do something about Reggie Hammond and Porn King. Porn King got one win.
Porn King is out next year. Already got his replacement. So he already told me he's retiring. He retiring this year. He's too busy. He's too busy to focus like he normally does. Fella I work with.
He decent.
Okay.
Yeah, he pretty good. He like to make a lot of trades and moves. I told him, I said, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, ain't a whole lot of trading going on in my league. I said, fellas like to hold on to their team. They ain't trying to help you boost yours. I can tell you that right now. They like to try and do 2-for-1. They're like, bro, I said, only a fool take a 2-for-1, but hey, what do I know?
Yeah. But you know, man, this is the time of year that makes fantasy so fun, man, because everybody's trying to get to the playoffs. I think the trade deadline is what, in 2 weeks? I want to say the trade deadline is what, next week? Or maybe 2 weeks?
Yeah,
so. You know, man, it's interesting right now to see how your team is developing, to see how you work in your roster, see how your draft strategy planned out. I think for me, I'm good at running back, but my wide receivers are definitely letting me down. So I'm probably going to have to try to get off one of my solid running backs and probably try to pick up a wide receiver, which is something that I really don't want to do, but it's something that I'm going to have to do to make my team more formidable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm hurting there too, y'all. I mean, my running backs, I got the top – man, I got the top three out of the first, the top five running backs in the league. So I got three of the top five, but my receivers are hurting me. That's why I had to make that Tyler Boyd trade and get I'm trying to move Chris Godwin too, Bo, because I don't want none of them receivers, man, for Tampa, man, because they're not consistent. So I'm trying to find anybody, dude, any takers, man. Yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah, I think – I mean, not to ramble on, you know, I know we the one over, so who cares? You know, it's our show. So, you know, we can have our show is 60 minutes. We want to go 90 is us. But, you know, we are giving valuable information. I think when you do a trade, sometimes you have to – I know a lot of – I don't know. I'm going to ask you guys. Me, when I do a trade, I like doing a 2-for-2. I don't like doing a 1-for-1. Because most people turn down a 1-for-1 because they think that baby that you are trying to get over. So normally I'll do a 2-for-2. So let's just say if I got Kareem Hunt, but I want Julio Jones off your team, I'm probably going to trade you Kareem Hunt and probably like Marvin Jones for DeAndre Swift and Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look at it, you're going to be like, okay, my running backs do suffer, but do I really want to come off Julio? But if you really look at it, Julio don't score touchdowns. Kareem Hunt does.
Exactly.
Marvin Jones scored touchdowns. So it's like you actually have to weigh the value of the trade instead of looking at the name attached to the trade.
Yes, and the scoring system too. So you got to look at how the scoring system is. So, and the I would say scoring system and the strength of schedule down the playoff stretch, man. And I think that's what may get people in trouble is they're not looking at weeks 14, 15, and 16. And the guys who are there every year, y'all do. We do. I'm looking at 14, 15, and 16. That's all that really matters if you get in the dance.
Yeah.
So when I make a trade, I'm looking at that. I'm like, okay, what's their schedule at like them last 3 weeks?
Speaking of that, I remember I used to sit there and I evaluate my roster. I do my draft on the division that you're in. Like, oh, this is a pretty good player, and he's in this, let's say he's in the AFC East, you know, and where you only, back in the past, you really only had to deal with the Patriots. So you eating, you know, 6-7 games a year, and I know in the latter half of the season, you know, they're going to sit Brady, you know, and this guy's gonna blow up a little more because the backup guy is gonna, you know, feed him, you know, more than he's feeding this guy. All that kind of thought process goes into, you know, picking a player that no one else thinks about. But hell, you know, you start off 7-6 and then you end up making the playoffs, you know, then you know that you know what the hell you're doing. Don't let nobody tell you no different.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, you know, we could have did this next week, but you know, we're already talking about it, and you know, that's one thing I learned from Big Bro, was he was like, "Yo, when I do my draft, I look at the playoff weeks."
Yep.
And I was like, I never really thought about that. Because normally when you're doing your draft, you know, you do have 10 other weeks or 11 other weeks where you got to worry about winning your game. So if your draft is solid enough, you should be able to get through your season and be formidable in the playoffs at the same time. So it was kind of crazy because when we did the preview show, I know I told Big Bro and Tracy that I was like, Kareem Hunt should be everybody's number one cuff. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So I knew I was going to take Nick Chubb number one in some of my drafts. So when I got to like the sixth or seventh round, I took Kareem Hunt. I know that was a stretch to take him that high up, but I was like, I'm not going to chance the fact of somebody drafting him as they flex.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that was just a calculated move that I made. It probably hurt me as far as depth-wise in the receiver, but it helped me as far as when Chubb went down because I still had Kareem Hunt there to put in as a starter. So, but, you know, man, there's a lot of things that, I mean, probably, what's this, week 10? Probably week 12, we'll give you guys a playoff map of how you can go about winning your league. So we'll definitely have that show for you guys. But, you know, me and my two brothers, man, we just like talking fantasy. We like talking football. This is our thing. You know, this is one thing that made us closer. Because we love each other and we love football. So, you know, and I love them. They love me, and we love doing this show, giving you guys this free information so you can go and win your league. And if you have any questions on me and my big bro, you can hit us on Twitter if you have any questions. Actually, tonight, after the show, I'm going to do a list of our starts and our sits, and I'm going to put it on Twitter tonight. So, you know, I'm going to put that out there. And, hey, man, it's always fun talking to my two bros doing this show. This is like a family reunion every Friday night for us, and I love doing it. And we're going to have to come up with another platform after football, man. We got to come up with something else to do after football season. Because I know I do fantasy basketball. I don't know about you guys.
Okay.
I do fantasy basketball. But you know what? We are going to have another show after football season. I don't care if it's once a month. We're going to do something and we're going to keep this going. We're going to keep this live. So we're going to close off tonight's show. Good luck, everybody, in fantasy football this week. Play to win. Don't look at the names on the jersey. Look at the matchups.
Yes, sir.
Lee,
yes, sir. Good luck, everybody. Unless you're playing me.
Lee, Carl, and Jermaine signing out on this Friday Night Fire fantasy football show. Everybody have a good weekend. Wash your hands, wear your mask, practice social distancing. Obey your local laws. I know out here in Denver, 10 o'clock, everything is closing. There's no reason for you to be out at 10 o'clock, get your ass home, take a shower, and chill out. So we can get this, coronavirus under control, and we can get back to living our lives. That being said, everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys next Friday. Take care. Peace.
Peace.